Any comments on that? I think many of you know who he's talking about, and I don't think that that person is alone that he's talking about, even though they were best friends. It's fairly common that people say something to the effect of, well, the mystery isn't really the mystery because it's in the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament talks about the crucifixion, that Christ died, and it even says that he died for sins. But there, it's almost obvious that it's intentional. That's not what I'm trying to say. It looks intentional that they take, for instance, like, well, let me put 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 up there. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So, and he said in Galatians 1 that he received it from the Lord, not from man. He's delivering it to them. They hadn't had it yet. He's giving it to them as a revelation. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Now, for someone to say, the Bible never says, what did he say? That's in the Old Testament, that Christ died for sins. Do you see the deceit there? Christ died. It doesn't say Christ died for sins. It says Christ died for our sins, yours and mine. And Paul had already had his temple vision by the time he wrote 1 Corinthians. He knew that this was going to all people. But the ones that he was writing to didn't know that yet. And it was in the Old Testament that it was for their sins. It was for Israel's sins in Isaiah 53, verse 6, 5, 6, 10, no, 11 and 12. Especially 11, 12. You know, there's a difference between bear and bear. If you look in those last two verses of Isaiah 53, only one place does it say he bore their transgressions or iniquity? I forget. Well, let's look it up. We got time. Isaiah 53. The point is that I don't know why people try to denounce what people are preaching out of the Bible. I mean, it's in the Bible that Christ died for our sins, and it's not in the Old Testament that Christ died for our sins, or that he would even die for our sins. But if we look in Isaiah 53, 11 and 12, let me get them both up there so you can see the difference. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus Christ, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's bearing, that's carrying, like a woman bears a child, carries him. 9 months. Look at the next verse, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. He exposed the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's not bearing like you carry something. That's bearing like he made it bare. He made it exposed, the sins of many. So it's not the same as in the verse above there. Verse 11 is the verse that's important. Well, they're all important. My righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Israel's iniquities is what it's talking about. And that's what Paul's talking about there in 1 Corinthians 15:3. He's talking about Israel's believing Israel's iniquities. He's talking to people that had come out of the apostate synagogue in Corinth, believing the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, risen from the dead. And that's what they refused to believe in the synagogues and in the temple, the apostate Israelites. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. It was according to the Scriptures that he died for Israel's sins, for those Jews' sins that came out and believed. After he was sent to all people, you could say it without that according to the Scriptures, because we Gentiles aren't in the Old Testament as being those that Christ died for. It doesn't say he didn't die for us. We find out later, though, after Paul was saved, that he died for us too. And you can check that out in Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. The same thing was believed by those who first trusted in Christ, as was believed by those who in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. To us it was by the cross. Yeah, as you go down in 3, verse 6, Ephesians 3, 6, it tells us that for sure, and other places, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now in chapter 3 here, there's no reference to Jews. It's talking about people let me just go back here. For this cause, if you've heard of the revelation, I'm skipping things here. My mouse is catching. I'll blame it on that. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So he's telling them about this dispensing of God's salvation, the way God is dispensing it to people now. Not just, David talks about the man who's is blessed because his iniquities are forgiven or not counted. I forget the exact wording, but that's one case. That's David. This is a dispensing of it. It's a dispensation. It's the way God is working today. And you come down and he says, whereby when you read... It's important to study the Word of God. When you read, you may understand. If you don't read it, you won't understand it. Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And thank you for your comments, James, Ember Sparks. Feel free to elucidate on that too, so we understand it better what you were talking about there. But going on to verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. With who? Well, with those in the body of Christ, of the same body. The body of Christ that started there with Paul in Acts 9 and was added to through Galatia there, through Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, Lystra, the people that believed the gospel that Paul preached. They, as they believed the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for their sins too, or for their sins, they were Jews in the synagogues there, they were saved. They became part of the same body of Christ, or the body of Christ, and then these people in Ephesus, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of that same body, partakers of his promise in Christ. His promise in Christ is not the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the promise, where is it? First Timothy, Second Timothy. Let me get the right place here. Second Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. What is the promise of life? Well, look at Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Don't belittle God and say he's not good enough. His gift doesn't do it. I have to add to it whatever, baptism or some ritual, confirmation or whatever. No, it's a gift. You can only get it by receiving it. You try and make it not a gift or something you have to partly earn, you nullify it for you. Yeah, right. Any man-made tradition or even... You know, the people there in Corinth especially, it's exposed in the scriptures that they took something that God had given them to win over the tongues, I'm talking about, to win over those Jews across the wall there in that building that they were on. One side of the wall in the same building as the other side of the wall had the Jewish synagogue. And the ones that believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah were in Paul's meeting, and they were given tongues to win them over. Well, after they had won over those that were going to be won over, and those that were available heard it, there was no need for tongues anymore. They had outlived the use for it, but they were clinging on to it, and Paul calls it idols.